This podcast is brought to you in part by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling a home, condo, or any type of property, trust Amanda to help match you with up to three top agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Hey, all you rock stars from Washington, D.C. This is the Mark on the Money podcast, episode 126. Time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting all of those hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you along that path to retirement and financial independence. I'm Greg, your Dave Ramsey Master Financial Coach, along with Amanda. She is a corporate in-house lawyer and real estate referral agent. And we're so grateful you joined us. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/rockonthemoney or the website at rockonthemoney.com. Hi, girl.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Oh, it's been one of those glad I have an emergency fund kind of weeks.
What do you mean? What's going on?
Well, you know, I have a hot tub and a pool, and both of those decided to break in the same week, and then my refrigerator died.
So a hot tub and a pool.
Yes.
Well, you're in Florida. See, yes. For me, it would not make sense to get one, even though my neighbors have one.
Right.
What do they say about owning boats and pools?
Well, I don't know. Usually my pool is completely low maintenance and cost free.
Oh, really?
I guess after 3 years to put some money into it isn't a big deal.
There you go. But you use your emergency fund for it, right?
Yes.
So hot tub, pool, and what else?
The refrigerator died.
So you had to get a whole brand new refrigerator?
Yes.
How much was that?
Like $1,500.
Oof. Is it cool though?
No, it keeps things cool, but otherwise it's just a refrigerator.
I went to Costco the other day looking at refrigerators because I need one, and I'm putting it off. I need to go ahead and order one, but I was looking at what they had on display.
Yeah.
These stupid refrigerators are just out of control.
Yeah, I mean, they have smart ones where you can like knock and see what's in it without opening the door. I didn't get a fancy one. I just got a basic refrigerator.
That was the one they had. You tap on the glass and it lights it up so you can see what's in there. I know what's in there.
Yeah. Or you can like from your smartphone, from an app, see what's in your refrigerator.
Well,
yeah,
why would I do that? Am I being old or have we just run out of things to do with the refrigerator? The tapping thing, I just didn't understand.
Well, then you don't open your door and waste energy by standing there with the refrigerator door open, looking at it.
But then we waste money buying the things so we can try and save energy.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, what do we got on this podcast? We just covered a bunch of things right there. Well, yeah. What are we doing on the podcast?
Yeah. I mean, so the important thing is, you know, I had money that I could take care of these things. So it's more of just a super inconvenience and depressing rather than completely upending my financial status in life. First of all, they don't carry anything really in the stores.
No, they don't.
It's all at distribution centers. So they said, well, we'd be able to deliver this one, but not until a week from Saturday.
That's not too bad, though, compared to what used to be.
Well, it is when you're living out of a cooler.
Okay, good point. in Florida, in a cooler, which is not easy to keep cold.
Right, yeah. Everything was pretty much ruined. And then we went to a second store and they were able to deliver it within 2 days. So that's more tolerable.
That happened with me with the dishwasher, the one that I ended up buying, which was the top rated in Consumer Reports. If you shop around, you can get it sooner, but there's nothing immediate.
Right. You can't just go home with one.
No, the supply chain has improved since the pandemic.
Yeah.
Question number one. I have a question. I'm going through a divorce. Wife is taking $100,000 of my $750,000. Should I put my investments in the stable market fund until after that occurs, or just keep investing in Harbor Capital and Vanguard within my company's 401k? I'm afraid of a stock market correction between now and then. I am age 41 with 20 to 25 years before retirement.
Oh, this is a good question.
It's actually a good question. I gave him my initial answer, which is our standard coaching. But now that I look at it, I'm like, it might be better to do exactly what he said, because it's a short term stabilization, not a long term solution. So now that I'm looking at this question, I may have answered him a different way than we normally would answer this. What do you think?
Right. So let's just step through.
Yes.
Our normal advice is if you are more than 5 to 10 years away from retirement, then you should be in growth mode and keep everything in these funds that typically perform much better than stable market funds. In this particular case, this person is going to need the money sooner than the 5 to 10 years. And so we say 5 to 10 years because if there is a correction, it often takes 5 to 10 years for that correction to,
right,
to, you know, for, right, you to make up the money you lost during the correction. Yeah,
historically, that's how long it takes to go back to where it was. That's right.
So in this case, if this, first of all, we're assuming that the $100,000 is a flat dollar amount. Mm-hmm. Not a percentage. So if it is a flat dollar amount and no matter what your balance is at, you have to pay her $100,000, then I think it makes sense to do this short-term stabilization to put it into something that has lower risk and then change it back after you make that payout.
And let me just point out, they mentioned the Harbor Capital Appreciation Fund and the Vanguard 500. So the Harbor Capital within this 401k that we're familiar with, because we've coached people with this one 401k, that is the one fund within this 401k that does beat the S&P 500 index on a short, medium, long term. That's why they mentioned these two. So they are listening to what we do. Yeah. They're just in a situation of, what do we do on this short term? And I think I'm on board. I need to actually message him back. Because yeah. I think I did. I did not see... You know, I'm a guy. I scan over things I should have read. It said, I'm afraid of a stock market between now and then. He wasn't worried about a stock market correction overall, which most people tell us about. He's talking about one during this process.
Yeah, I think I would. I would stabilize it because you don't want that $100,000 to become $100,000 out of $550,000 because that's a much higher percentage of your overall wealth then.
Okay, actually, that was a good scenario.
That's why we always say that our advice is general and that your particular circumstances may make it different.
You mean, is that why they call it personal finance?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I just want to point out, but our general advice is we don't worry about stock market corrections.
Right, not for the long term.
So don't get confused with what we just said. Well, they just said I need to get in stable market fund because there's going to be a correction. Well, not right now. We don't know. No one knows. But no, we don't do this. But in this very short term thing, sounds like they're following what we're doing. And I think that's a really good question.
Yes.
Question number two.
Stable markets, I liken those to just basically keeping your money in a savings account. They're not really going to make you money.
Yeah. Question number two. If you had $10,000 to $20,000, but you knew you would not need it within a full year, what would you do with it and where would you store it?
Wow. So you know you don't need it for a full year. So I don't know that I can ever say we know that.
Yeah, I agree with you.
What if your car breaks down? You're going to need that to buy a new car in cash.
And we don't know if they have an emergency fund.
We don't. If you're a homeowner, you probably need that money for an emergency fund.
I'm wondering if they got a big tax refund and this is where they came from this time of year.
Oh, maybe.
Because some people get refunds that big and they should not be. That's a whole different conversation. But they threw this out in the middle of April.
and they don't need it until they need to pay taxes next year, maybe.
Yeah, there you go. So, I mean, 10 to 20, we don't have all the information and you wouldn't need it for 1 year. So the general advice we have is if you need money within a couple of years, we don't put it into anything where you could lose it.
Right. So this is actually very similar to the first question.
Right. It is. Yeah. But in this case, if you may need it within a year or at a year, it's savings account. Sorry.
Yep.
Sorry. I mean,
you can put it in a high yield interest savings account online and make much more in interest than you ever would.
And I'm not sure.
And when I say more in interest, you're not going to get rich. It's probably for a year's worth, it's maybe going to be $100 to $200. I mean, I'm just doing fast, very poor math in my head, but it's not going to make you thousands of dollars.
Question number three. I am curious if anyone has advice for a 19-year-old that wants to eventually become an everyday millionaire. What do you wish you could have done at a young age that you would have helped you? Thank you in advance. I love these questions. Every now and then this pops up. And I should have, Amanda, thrown this in the group and got their stuff. We could have read it. I can do that for the future.
Okay. I think there are two main things here that I would suggest. One is get in the habit of contributing every paycheck and every month into a retirement account.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Start with a Roth. You're 19 years old. So as long as you have earned income, you're eligible to contribute to a Roth IRA up to the amount of your earned income. Yep. So even if you have just a part-time job and you only make, you know, $4,000 over the year, you could potentially put all $4,000 into the Roth IRA. Now, most mm-hmm. people aren't able to put 100% of their income into an account, right. but make it something so that you're in that habit long term of, no matter what, every paycheck money goes into an retirement account. And like my son, he's 20 now. It's automatic. So it's already out and he doesn't have a chance to spend it. And that's the habit you should get into, is paying yourself and your future first. Second, get in the habit of budgeting.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So two things, saving and managing your expenses. That's how you become an everyday millionaire.
And I would like to throw, this is actually part of your budgeting. Don't start getting into debt. I mean, if you don't do it now, you'll be better off later on.
Just right.
As part of the habit, just don't even go into debt.
Right. And don't be tempted into buying a $40,000 luxury car when you don't need it. Right?
Oh, man, you can get that, man. You'd be so cool. Heck with that cool crap.
Yeah,
heck
you can that. Afford it when you put it into a 72-month, 84-month loan. It's only $140 a month in payments.
You should buy Bitcoin. You should do this. Don't get caught up in all that. Do your basics. And if you do your basics, then you can go do your coinage that your friends are doing. You got to get the basics down, guys. We're not against crypto. Come on, guys. Do the basics first. We're not against it, but you got to get the foundation built first. And then you can get into the riskier things like that. And yeah, no, it's so not I would guaranteed. Say
the biggest mistakes I see 19 and 20-year-olds make, buying fancy cars because they want to impress someone else, or they just really like fancy cars. And so they buy something that is outside of what they can afford. So fancy cars is one thing. Taking on huge student loans and living off of the excess, the amount that is in excess of whatever has to pay for tuition. Big student loans and spending that money on luxuries rather than taking out the bare minimum just to cover your absolute expenses. So that's a big mistake. The other things, let's see. Oh, bottle service or going out every weekend, spending a lot of money at bars. Those are big expenses.
What do you call that? Fake rich? What do you call that? Fake rich?
Oh, what do I call
it? You had a term for it.
I did. I can't remember.
Faux rich, but don't fake rich until you are.
Right.
But you had a term that was really cool. We should have
remembered. Yeah, I can't remember now. I'll have to think about it.
Well, let's take a quick break and maybe you'll remember by the time we get back. We'll be back right after this. You listen to Rock on Money.
Hey there, rock stars. Amanda here with ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Are you about to sell your home or excited to buy your first or next home? I'll be honored to help you find an expert to work with you in your local area. At ChoiceRealtyConnect.com, I'll help match you with up to 3 qualified licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. Choice Realty Connect serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. Whether you're selling or looking for a condo, new construction, retreat, vacation property, or you're a first-time home buyer, let me connect you with the perfect top agent today. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Amanda Braun is a Florida licensed real estate with a brokerage, Realty Connect.
Rockland, USA.
Welcome back to Rock on Monday with Amanda and Craig. You don't remember, do you?
No, okay. I don't.
Hey, check us out at facebook.com/rockonthemoney or the website rockonthemoney.com for all of our previous episodes. We're on Spotify, iHeartRadio. We are everywhere a podcast exists. So if you catch us as a drive-by, find us. Ask your Alexa or your Google.
Craig, I thought I remembered.
Oh, what you got?
Financial fraud.
That's it. Financial fraud. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Right. Good job. Question number 4, financial fraud. That would be the key. Don't, because it's so easy to do it. And especially when you're trying to impress a girlfriend. If you have to do that or to impress boyfriend. A girl or a boyfriend, yeah, I shouldn't be sexist. Even though I was on the right side of that sexism, I just want to point that out. However, however, if you feel the need you have to impress a girlfriend or boyfriend in order to get their attention, that's not the person you want.
Or just your friends. I see right. that a lot, too.
Yeah. And that includes buying cars and buying the biggest truck. Don't get guilted in that crap because mm-hmm. they'll be gone later and within 10 years. Don't get caught up in that. Question number four. If you are building your portfolio in rental properties, Amanda, which you are know of, should you place them in a corporation, a limited liability corporation, an LLC, or leave them as personal assets?
So this is 100%. It depends.
Yeah, I figured it would be.
It's going to depend on your personal financial circumstances right. yeah. and situations. I would not create a corporation mm-hmm. or an LLC unless you absolutely have to, because there are expenses that go along with it. There are administrative procedural type things that you have to keep up on. Otherwise, it's just a sham and you actually are putting a lot of money into something that's going to give you zero protection because of piercing the corporate veil. You know, there are a number of things that you need to do in order to maintain that status, in addition to just paying an annual fee to your state of incorporation.
Tell me about it.
LLCs are tricky because you have to register them in every single state that you're doing business in. So if you have rental properties, you know, in multiple states, then you basically need to have one in every single state. You can't just have one.
Right.
If you only have one property, then maybe it makes sense to keep it as a personal asset and just get yourself some umbrella liability insurance added on top. You know, your circumstances, the amount of wealth that you have is going to make a difference. The amount of risk that you have is going to make a difference. Where your property are located, that's going to make a difference. How many properties you have. So you definitely need to speak to both your tax advisor, because there's tax implications, and a legal advisor.
There you go. Question number five. Curious how much on average people keep in their checking account. My husband always wants to keep more, but I feel like the more we have in there, the more tempting it is to spend it.
Yeah, I keep zero in mine.
I only transfer in there when I need to pay a bill.
Mm. Well, so our money automatically goes into checking, and I'm the opposite. I transfer things out to go into savings. But at times you'll see as little as $5 in it.
Well,
I never overdraw it. So there could, it just depends, because I like to transfer round numbers into savings. So,
well, I can think what I should have said about mine is my paycheck stuff go right into checking.
Yeah.
I have the X savings bucket. If my budgeting and stuff skews or something like that, or then I have to transfer some in there to cover it. So no, I'm basically doing what you do. If I have anything extra, I get it out of there and build up the savings from that. But so it is kind of going into checking first. And then coming out that way. Yeah.
100%. It's always less than $100.
Yeah. Whatever your minimum is, so you don't pay fees if you have that.
Yeah, I don't have that. It's just, I just like to transfer round pretty numbers into savings.
And you know what? I never think about money in my checking account as whether I'm going to spend money or not. I mean, that's the part of the question. I was like, that's never crossed in my mind that why I have money in there. Because the thing is, if it's not in checking, but it's in savings, it's still there. I didn't understand why it had to be in checking to think it's tempting to spend it.
Yeah, because we don't spend money out of checking. I never swipe my debit card ever.
Right.
That's just not something I do.
And I don't have one. I don't have it. You believe that? I don't have a debit card.
Yeah, I have one in my wallet. I just don't use it.
Yeah, I'm just worried about the security thing of debit cards. It depends which one you have. So I just
the only thing I use my bank card for is to go to the ATM to withdraw cash, because that's what we spend.
There you go. All right. So there you go. Question number six. How much do you need invested in a fund like VTSAX to make $4,000 a month in income? So that's an index fund, Amanda, Vanguard index fund.
Mm-hmm. So that's a Vanguard Total Stock Market Index Fund Admiral Shares. Yeah. So it's not the one we recommend.
It's kind of like mixing up your small, medium, and large caps. But either way, here's what I was doing the math out. So if you put it in a Roth and you wait till you're 59 and a half, then you would need at least a minimum of $1.2 million in there if you use the 4% withdrawal rule. So let's go over that real quick. The 4% rule is when you retire and you start withdrawing money out of your retirement savings, If you take out more than 4%, you run the risk of running out of money. The 4% rule is assuming you'll have good years and bad years, and you're always going to be making money on your funds in a conservative way, like 6% if you're doing that target date fund that we talk about on a very basic level. Over time, that will help get you through 20, 30 years of retirement, and you will not run out of your money. Because I could not imagine running out of money at 90 and you're still alive. Like, uh-oh, now what do I do? You're eating cat food. So if you have a Roth, you need $1.2 million. Then if you have taxes and when it's not a Roth, you're talking about, according to my math, it was $1.55 million. And this is just for $4,000 a month, Amanda, which, depending on where you live, is not a lot of money. And then if you want to retire early, before 59 and a half, then you're doing a penalty, Amanda. We're looking more like $1.75 million. Hmm. $4,000 a month, and that comes out to what a year? Like what, 48,000 a year is your income based on whether it's Roth, your what year you're taking out, and so on.
Right. And then I think the distracting part here is mentioning a fund.
Right.
It's not the fund you need to have money invested in, it's your actual account you need the money sitting in.
Right. You should be diversified. I mean, we're doing the S&P 500 large cap funds, which is more aggressive. And then when you're retired, Amanda, you're not in that fund.
No, you're not.
So now you're too aggressive. You're running the risk of losing. You could lose half that money if you're an aggressive fund. So we don't want to do that. Here's the other thing I don't like, and I've heard this before. We're not looking for, I just need this kind of money to, and then I don't have to invest anymore. Now I'm going to put the rest of it in stable value and leave it alone. If you're still 40 years old, and you reach that retirement target amount, why would you put that now in a stable value fund for the next 20 years till you retire?
Right. So no, actually lose money against inflation.
Yeah. So wouldn't you want to keep making more? So when you retire, that 4% rule, instead of getting $4,000 a month, now I'm getting $8,000 or $12,000 or $16,000 a month. You now don't have to pay for life insurance anymore. All these expenses when you are self-sufficient and self-insured, you can live the way you want to live. No, we keep the pedal of the metal till we're within retirement range, then we back off. So I don't know where this idea where I have enough now to retire, I'm just going to put in a stable value fund at age 42. Why would you not want to keep making money? I didn't understand all that. Does that make sense? I mean, that's No, we keep going where we have enough money in there that when you take 4% out, you can at least, you know, live a lifestyle and continue what you're doing. And we personally, I think, Amanda, you agree, we don't include Social Security as part of that monthly amount because they can mess with that all they want. That's something I can't control. The money I deposit is what I can control. So I don't like including Social Security as part of my retirement plan.
Right.
Her goal is a castle.
Yep.
All right. Thank you, guys. And thank you so much, Amanda. And hey, how's that refrigerator doing?
So far, so good. Come dented, so I may have to get it replaced or talk them into giving me a discount.
Can they? I know you and your discounts. Is there a way they can come out and bring a new panel out, or how do they do that?
No, they said it's a loaner fridge that they'll replace it.
Oh, okay. Well, good luck. Keep us updated on that.
Yeah.
It's exciting. All right. Talk to you later. You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at Agile Amanda. And you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at Rockland USA. Don't forget to check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. Podcast at rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. America's Rockland USA.
All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.